Hey guys, welcome to the special edition of EngageCast, a podcast about riveting growth stories. In this edition of EngageCast, we speak with the marketers across 15 different industry verticals to gauge the impact of COVID-19 on their business. The virus outbreak has certainly changed the dynamics of the business since it first emerged in late 2019. This initiative will help us to understand how has consumer behavior evolved in the past few months, the adaptation of new consumer engagement strategies, and critical focus areas for brands to emerge victoriously in 2020. Episode 1 features Meera Iyer, Chief Marketing Officer of Medlife. Meera has been in the marketing domain for 13 plus years and has played a crucial role in Medlife's growth in the past year. This episode has been hosted by Priyam Jha, Brand Marketing Manager at WebEngage. So let's dive in.
Meera, thank you so much for giving us your valuable time, that too on a Sunday. I know that it's been really busy for Medlife and online pharmacy in general. And it is really great to have you over here with us. And of course, looking forward to this chat, an amazing, insightful conversation.
Thanks, my pleasure being here.
So Meera, as you know, this series is going to cover thoughts of marketers around the world from different consumer businesses about how they are dealing with the COVID-19 crisis of sorts. It is completely unprecedented. The word has been used several times again and again. But to be honest, does a precedent even exist to a pandemic of this sort? Has Indian business, for example, or global business, for example, seen anything similar, at least in our lifetime?
See, the whole concept of globalization has only caught on momentum in the last 2-3 decades, right? So it would be unfair to compare any such pandemic with previous occurrences, because the last large pandemic that happened was the Spanish flu 100 years back. But that too, remember, lasted 3 waves across 2 years, right? That was the extent to which it really created havoc in the world. Having said that, I don't think there is any comparable parallel, because what we've had in the last 2-3 decades is more of financial crisis. Right? So you had the entire crisis in 2008 with a ton of industries, you know, falling down, but those were financial crises. This is the first of its kind, and it is going to be a little different because it's a health crisis. Right? Only parallel that I can see or possibly talk about is 9/11. When 9/11 happened, people acknowledged that there was a serious threat to human life, not through some diseases like this, but more from terrorists and stupid activities being carried out in the name of religion and other other things. And that changed the face, if you remember, of security completely, where suddenly airports, malls, your hotels, everything became a massive security zone. Every scanning and checking, etc., became the norm, right? And people accepted that, people adapted to that, simply because it was a matter of life. So the nearest parallel that I can think of in terms of change and acceptance is really this. It is not at all linked to or relatable to any other financial crisis that we've had in the past.
Exactly. I completely agree with you, although that 9/11 parallel that you drew, I agree to a certain extent, most definitely. As far as general security and safety was concerned internationally, I think that definitely changed quite a few things. I still believe that the evolution that we saw in previous incidents, some of that is, of course, going to play out in a longer duration of time. It all remains to be seen. But one thing that we cannot deny is the impact on businesses that we have seen globally at the same time. I think that is what makes this very, well, unprecedented, because never has it ever happened in our history that something so catastrophic affected businesses everywhere around the world at the same time.
It primarily focuses on human and human safety. And while it focuses on human safety, the point is that not too many people have been able to work as effectively, right? That has never been the case with any other crisis before. You had shutdowns, you had mass businesses going out of work and operations, etc. But that was more due to financial reasons rather than health reasons.
True. Right?
Therefore, this is different.
True. So, Meera, I'm sure many businesses, as we all know, different verticals have been affected. Some have been affected a bit more than others. What kind of an impact, when I say impact, what kind of a business impact has your vertical, which is online pharmacy, seen? And of course, what kind of a change have you noticed in your job profile, let's say?
Got it. So there are two parts to how has it impacted business. From a consumer sentiment and interest point of view, it's basically just skyrocketed. Right, staying home is safer, and we also realize that every delivery that we manage to make to customers, be it for medicines or be it to actually conduct a lab test, is going to help prevent spread of the virus and ensure that social distancing remains the norm. So in terms of demand, it's just shot up through the roof. But I unfortunately can't say the same thing for the actual execution part of it, because we have struggled. We have struggled from day one of the lockdown. In fact, even before official lockdown, from that Janta Curfew day on 21st March, it's been a struggle to actually manage business operations in the supply chain, simply because all legs of it, be it first mile, middle mile or last mile, have all been broken. Right, first mile broken, obviously, because even the pharma companies, their CNFAs were having a huge issue in terms of manpower. Cross-state movement of goods, especially in the first week, was non-existent. You had almost some 6 lakh trucks, stranded in various parts.
Right.
You also had truckers unwilling to basically take long trips, simply because the dhabas that they used to generally frequent and eat at were shut.
Wow.
Right, so nobody wanted to undertake long distance travel during this time, even after the permits got issued. So first mile was anyways a mess and still continues to be dogged by some bit of challenges. Middle mile and last mile were mainly manpower issues. Right, at the end of the day, people working in our warehouses or the delivery boys are also people coming from families who are equally worried about them and want them to be safe. So a lot of migrant laborers in large cities went back home. A lot of people who are left over did not have families that were willing to let them go out and venture out and take that risk. So manpower availability and action still continues to be short of the 100% that it was earlier. But at the same time, orders have more than doubled. So it's a pretty awful situation to be in, where you know that there is a ton of demand coming your way, and by just catering to the demand, you'll be doing a huge service to the society and the country, but you're not able to do so effectively.
Awesome. Completely agree with that point. I think one part of this whole event being very unprecedented is the fact that very rarely have we seen an event in the past as well, where there is both supply and demand impetus, but the serviceability is becoming a very problem. Meeting the supply, meeting the demand is, of course, becoming a big issue. So I can understand totally in business lines such as yours, that being a very important problem.
And add to that the dimension of customers getting paranoid and panicky and therefore wanting to hoard products at their end, right? And essential services like medicine, etc. are anyways going to be the first targets.
Exactly. Which was where I was getting towards. I said, of course, the fact that serviceability was becoming such a problem. What I wanted to understand was, have you witnessed, like you mentioned a little bit of that right now, have you witnessed or rather experienced consumer behavior evolving in a certain way as well, at least for your business vertical?
Consumer behavior evolving is something that's not just moved or moved some places. I think it's going to be here to stay. I think you have to understand that being in a lockdown and being at home all the time has brought about a completely new set of challenges and needs for the customers. And McKinsey published this recent report where they've talked about nesting. Right, and the whole nesting phenomenon, which is basically staying at home, it's something that's going to replace pretty much. So whatever you did out, people are trying to basically replicate it in. Right, so eating out is now become eating in, right? Or playing out is now basically digital games that are being played out, and gaming industry is seeing a massive spike in terms of the overall users and the number of games that are proliferated. So I think there are definitely going to be a few pretty lasting behavior changes in customers. First, I would call out, or if I had to call out three things. I would call out first one being an accelerated move to digital life, right? So, you know, New York last week allowed virtual marriages, right? So, unbelievable, but people getting virtually married is possibly the new definition of how digital life can possibly shape out. So being, be it work meetings or now virtual concerts, you had Lady Gaga give a virtual concert that went on for 8 hours. I don't know how she did it, but you know, that's the kind of change that you're seeing. Online education, and indeed all schools have already started training teachers. Some have already started online coaching and, you know, schooling for their set of students. So, you know, the fast tracking to digital, you know, is something that's going to be a given. There is going to be a big shift, if I can call it out, on digital, and therefore even the sales channel from a marketer's perspective. Right, digital is something that you know, digital companies like MedLife has to anyways you know, be on top of. But even non-digital companies will now have to start, you know, measuring that metric as to what percentage of their sales has become digital. So even if it is zero, 0 to 1 would be a big movement for them. Right, so that is one. Second, I think we have to ready for an economic slowdown. Right, it is going to be a recession, and one of the classic outcomes of any recessionary time is going to be heightened price sensitivity for customers, right? So customers are going to get increasingly sensitive about prices. Discounts is something that they will look for. They will be trading down in terms of brands, and there will be a lot of cut in discretionary spends, right? So that is the other big change that you will see in terms of consumers for some time to come, at least till the recession lasts and this entire threat goes away. And lastly, I think rise of wellness and hygiene as a category is going to be meteoric. It's already meteoric, right? But that's going to only strengthen up further. And now it is also going to overlap with some of the healthcare services that used to earlier, you know, you had wellness and hygiene and then you had healthcare, but there's going to be kind of a merger when it comes to looking at these categories for explosive growth. Brands have to really, you know, think about the kind of psychological impact that this entire disease has had worldwide, and it's pretty significant. And therefore, wellness and hygiene, and that includes mind wellness as well, that's something that's really big right now, are going to be the other you know, categories that are going to do exceedingly well in the coming times. So those three would be my top three buckets of change in consumer behavior.
Fantastic. Very well put. Thank you so much for that, Meera. I completely agree with you on most of the points that you've mentioned, especially about...
What do you disagree on? You said you agree with most of the points.
Well, I mostly agree with all of the points. What I was saying was, of course, there are varying degrees. I'm getting to that. Wellness, of course, is going to be very, very important. But like I was about to mention, I myself have become, not just myself, but I know a fair bit of people in my own social group as well who have become very conscious about their health and immunity for that matter, where they have started doing things which they would have earlier never tried, and they're now doing home workouts, which have become very popular. But of course, adoption to a certain extent is still a bit of a problem because of the pricing involved in a certain place. Few apps are still well, of course, for the kind of content that they are selling, there is going to be some amount of commercial benefit involved. So I guess that might prohibit adoption a little bit, but of course, that remains to be seen. But what I most definitely agree with is the point that you mentioned about an economic slowdown. And I think already there are several signs of stress on the economy that have, and some businesses have started to show cracks as well.
Any kind of economic depression, in historically has shown that at least 1/3 of the companies will shut up, right? So be prepared for a good third of companies just vanishing. And it's also going to lead to a lot of consolidation, right? It will be a wave of consolidation because of this kind of shutdowns that will, you know, take over. And I think, you know, importantly, in terms of the economic slowdown, when you look at the impact, every country that has gone into lockdown, and indeed most have at least, you know, locked themselves down for about 45 days on an average, right? Now, globally, the GDP is about $90 trillion, right? Now, you take 45 days, that's about $12 trillion of economic activity that has been impacted, Right. So for 12 trillion worth of economic activity being impacted is not small, right? Of course, it's not been wiped out, but IMF has already declared that 2020 overall is going to be a year of degrowth.
Right.
In India, right. Somewhere between 1 and 2% GDP growth. China is also the other one that's positive, but virtually every other economy in the top 10 at least are all negative.
Right.
And while it's given better projections on 2021, and I don't know the basis of that, but even if we were to go by that number, that's also going to be lesser than what 2019 was. Right. So you can't ignore these telling signs of what.
It's a very long lasting impact, most definitely, which might well extend well beyond 2020, 2021. I agree, Miran. Some of the things that you have already mentioned, like the change in consumer behavior, the fact that we might be entering into, well, we definitely are entering into a recession, and let's just hope it's not a great depression of sorts. Considering these things that are happening, your marketing strategy must have changed, right?
Of course.
It would have had to adopt. Hmm. So what are the changes that you had to basically make on the fly in the marketing strategy of MedLife?
So if you look at marketing and what we are doing currently in marketing, ours is an industry that is witnessing unprecedented growth. Right. So we are not someone like a travel or hospitality that is right now, you know, in complete chaos and has complete lack of demand. We are in fact overwhelmed with demand. So, slightly different perspective when you look at companies that are going to have this kind of a situation. So this is a time to, one, accelerate digital marketing. Right, because you anyways will see a huge wave of new people coming and adopting online and digital life, right? Especially the older lot who tend to be MedLife's customers, because my base is predominantly chronic patients. So accelerating digital marketing at this time, because it definitely has lesser cost per individual reached at this time as compared to using any kind of mass media, which in the long term creates a lot of pull, but in the short term, but is quite expensive because of the outlays, is something that we have to choose, and we have done it indeed at MedLife. The second thing is we have to get the messaging right and the communication bit right. I already talked about the kind of issues and on service delivery, etc., that we are happening. Because of that, it is critical at this time to set customer expectations right, and therefore to communicate right. So our job, and indeed the job of one of this work streams that I am leading over here as a boardroom format, is really on communications, right? And looking at how can we use communication effectively at this moment to ensure that we don't overpromise and underdeliver. And we, at the same time, are empathetic to our, millions of customers who are seeking to order from us at this time. So, and at the same time, you have to also, in your communication, balance your brand proposition with the emerging customer concerns, predominantly around hygiene. So, it's important for customers at this moment, safety of whatever they are getting as deliveries or safety of the products that they are receiving is something that is playing more on their mind other than the discount due to whatever factors that are there economically, right? So getting the message right is the other thing that marketers have to do and possibly pivot to a new set at this time. And then I would say that the other thing that we are equally obsessed about at this moment is ensuring ROIs. See, it's not the best of times to be in terms of any industry, right? Recession. Okay. So that the metrics that are going to become super critical and important, in my opinion, are one, on the financial side and the P&L side, cash and cash burn is going to be critical in managing your operating cash flows. Second, reducing fixed costs as an overall percentage of revenue is again going to become very critical from a P&L standpoint of view. Third, I think it is going to be very important to ensure that your customers as well as, so your customers are really engaged. Mm-hmm. Right? So customer engagement and managing to ensure that customer experience doesn't go for a complete toss is going to be the third one.
Mm-hmm.
And fourth one is going to be really focusing on your own employees and mm-hmm. their capabilities at this time mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. upgrading where it is required.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, even from a marketing perspective, therefore, I have two sets of customers that I am trying to take care of at this moment. Mm-hmm. One is our customers, the patients who depend on us for their healthcare needs. And second one is our employees who are also at this point in time a very critical piece of being able to function optimally.
Absolutely.
And ensuring that they are motivated, they are inspired, and they are engaged is equally important and critical. And therefore, some bit of our wearing marketing hats is also going towards that in terms of ensuring good employee engagement.
Fantastic.
So I think those are the not so much marketing, but from the point of view of leadership team, one of the things that we are doing a lot is cross collaboration between functions to really ensure supply. Right? And supply is going to be so critical at this moment. I don't know what's going to be the future of global supply chains with this entire COVID and borders being locked, etc., and as well as there being a huge scare. But you have to focus on ensuring uninterrupted supply and do all that is required to predict the demand properly and accurately as possible.
Absolutely. That's been one of the things that have, believe it or not, been keeping me awake at night as well, because that's something that I don't really, well, I am a person who overthinks a lot. And the first time this whole lockdown thing was announced, I remember thinking long and hard about the whole supply chain network being affected, because I understood that, of course, enforcing something like this is going to be very difficult. And it all played out very effectively, and most of our fears were well proven true. But I hope that definitely the supply chain network gets sorted. I'm sure people in the right places are working towards it. But Mira, I wanted to probe a little bit more about one point that you mentioned, which was where you established the importance of customer communication and engagement right now, so that the whole CX aspect does not get affected.
Yeah.
Customer experience is most definitely going to be very critical. And you mentioned a great point about ensuring that customers know they are getting products which are safe in their hands right now, because that's a major concern. Now, what is the underlying communication theme, or rather I would say agenda right now, that you guys are following? And what do you think should be the agenda for most digital consumer brands right now when it comes to engagement with their customers?
So the agenda is led by customers, Priyam, right? Always. Always it's about understanding your customer insights at this time and then tailoring what you have as content to meet those demands, meet those needs that they have. One of the things about COVID, so if you look at our communication strategy right now, it is pronged around three things. First is a realization that there is too much of news and there is too much of forwards and posts happening on COVID.
Sure.
And there is in general a heightened sense of stress and paranoia. So the first thing that we are able to do, and given that we are in this space for a long time and are generally trusted, is to ensure that the right information about this disease goes out to people and people don't get hung up on all kinds of fake news that's spreading around, right?
Fantastic.
So that is the first one in terms of us taking on the mantle and responsibility of saying that let's get people the correct information. Let's basically publish correct information that's vetted by doctors, that's in fact spoken by doctors, right? So it brings about that much more credibility, because when you have the head of Diabetes Society of India talking to people and talking about how corona is specifically harmful for diabetic patients, it makes that much more credible stand over there. So that is one, which is in terms of ensuring that there is a credible flow of information around COVID and credible flow that is also customized to the different consumer groups that we have. And ours is predominantly, more than geography, it is clustered around the disease groups that we service patients for. The second one that we equally are doing is again led out of customer insight, which is, it is a period of lockdown. There is very restricted movement. So at this time where people have to stay at home, and our vision being improving health outcomes, what are the kind of things that they really need in order to be able to stay healthy, both mind as well as in the body, right? So therefore, content around a lot of wellness, which is around how to stay fit, So exercises that you can do at home, yogas that you can do at home, depending on various disease type. What is right to eat? How do you boost your immunity and keep it going at this time? So a lot of homemade recipes for immunity, a lot of homemade food, or what are the right kinds of food to have at this time? Which are the foods that can have positive impact on you? And lastly, also, you know, staying on the lockdown bit, it is about how are people, staying mentally fit, right? So what do you do when you feel a little down? What do you do when you feel angry? What do you do when you feel frustrated? What are the kind of small, small things that you can do, which is there in your hands that you can use and plow through these times? So that's the second leg, which is understanding that customers are in lockdown, understanding what are the kind of things that are troubling them, and then being able to give them a perspective and a content and suggestions on that. So the right knowledge, the relevant, knowledge basis, what the situation is at this time. And lastly, I think we've also decided that as an organization, we are going to be positive about it, right? And we want people to also take it positively. So positivity in messaging and telling people don't go berserk, but at the same time, stay positive, stay absolutely okay. We are there to sort this out and we'll do it together has been the other theme around the kind of communication that we've done with customers. But it is all predominantly coming from understanding customer behavior, their insights, and really understanding in depth as to what do they want, rather than us deciding what is the monologue that we want to do.
Fantastic. So from what I have gathered, it's basically crafting an engagement strategy or a communication strategy that projects the brand as sort of like a guardian angel, or rather like a protector of sorts, which is adding more value to the user's life, even at this time.
Yes, absolutely. And that's important. You have to understand the kind of role that you play. And I think one of the other brands that comes to mind right now, and I really love the campaign, it's a brand that I have worked on, so I'm pretty pumped about it, Surf Excel. So on TV, I saw their campaign where they've converted their site onto things that kids can do at home. Right now, what a beautiful fit. Ki bhai, ab daag ghar ke andar lagenge rather than ghar ke bahar. But a wonderful fit to the brand, which anyways talks about children and the impact of various activities that children do on their development. And understanding that lockdown means even they are pulled in and rising up to the occasion and trying to make a lot of activities happen at home with them. So it is about your brand, what it does. So if I am about improving health outcomes as MedLife, then I do things that are relevant at this time to improve health outcomes of people. So if Excel is about making children experience a lot of learning, they do that lockdown at home kind of a context. So that's how brand have to basically make two things meet, which is your brand philosophy as well as your what's currently on with customers.
Superb. I completely agree. I was not aware of the Surf Excel campaign. I'll have to go check that out, but it does sound very nice, definitely. Which brings me to the next question, which is related. There is this recurring theme that I have noticed in a few of the digital brands that I use every day. I'm sure most of the young people today have been using these apps. I have noticed that there has been a significant change in their communication strategy, their branding, and their positioning strategy as well. Have you noticed something similar on your part as well with respect to the way consumer brands are communicating?
No, not on MedLife, because like I told you, being healthcare, we are like in the epicenter of whatever is happening right now, and demand is anyways high. And our services.
No, I'm not talking about MedLife. I'm talking in general, Meera. Like in general, the brands that you are also probably using on your phone, or have you noticed a difference in their communication strategy or the way they are positioning themselves?
I must say that there are a lot of brands that are trying to build empathy for.
Absolutely.
Focus where they have completely gone out of business. So I think Ola did Drive for Drivers, right? And similarly, you had some other companies also trying to basically evoke empathy and sympathy for people who at the moment are completely out of jobs and out of their daily wages. That's something that some companies have adopted effectively on your mind, even despite the fact that the services are no longer relevant to you. I've also seen, a lot of companies, just trying to give updates and some good companies that have tried to be innovative and taken advantage of the whole work from home situation and adapted it nicely to their brands. So there are both good examples, and there are also examples of companies that have gone completely silent, which baffles me, saying why would you want to do that? But
right.
But yeah,
right.
there is it's good. It's good to see a good breed of marketers who are completely adapting themselves in terms of what to talk about to their audiences during such completely different times.
Absolutely. I'm so glad I asked you the question, and I'm very happy that you got the exact word, rather the theme that I was looking for is empathy. That's most definitely what I have witnessed as well. Most brands have gone the empathy route. And while it is something that is which should most definitely be the dominant theme with respect to communication, it's obviously something that we don't see that often. Things have changed a little bit now. Because of the COVID-19 pandemic, brands are going the empathy route and being humanizing their communication a lot more. Do you think this is going to be a lasting change, Meera, well beyond the COVID-19 pandemic, or things are going to probably go back to the old ways?
No, I don't think things will go back to old ways. There is going to be some permanent changes I already told you about. So, brands come in different hues and they have different purposes in life. You suddenly can't have, let's say, a brand like, what brand should we take? You can't have but let's say you pick up some liquor brand, right? You can't suddenly have a liquor brand suddenly becoming all empathy. And let's say you have a Budweiser or you have that, whatever others, right? Those brands that essentially dwell on our entire partying nature and those kind of stuff, it will be a complete misfit in terms of
sure.
a brand. So
sure.
obviously brands can't continue to keep this kind of narrative and continue to be differentiated. It is really about when the entire curfew and the lockdown is lifted and when brands are able to function back to their normal again as brands and not generally completely shed their skin and try to put on a new avatar. No.
Fantastic. I have been having a few chats with marketers as well. They have had some very interesting points, and most of them have felt that the whole point of being empathetic in the marketing and all is going to probably be there for about a year and a half, because of the impact going to be very long lasting. But of course, it all remains to be seen as to what kind of an impact we will see in the coming days. Talking about impact, we have witnessed a lot of marketing initiatives being squashed right now because of lack of liquidity. Like we talked about that earlier as well, liquidity is dead in the market and people really are not even focusing about profitability. People just want to break even,
yep.
to survive, ride the wave.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in such a case, acquiring new customers is going to be difficult for some people because they have always relied on cost-intensive methods to do that. So
yep.
in such a time, retention becomes a very, very important ball game.
Correct.
What is MedLife doing right now to ensure that retention is at an all-time high?
Honestly, again, coming back, it doesn't apply to me because of the fact that there is anyways organically a crazy surge in demand and new customers have skyrocketed over here in the last 3 weeks. But yeah, if you are in a business that is anyway struggling, let's say you are one of those other retailers that has been forced to shut shop, I would prioritize whatever I'm doing in terms of service and servicing to possibly the most valuable customers that I have. Right? You every business knows who are their most valuable customers. Every business knows that entire pile that really contributes to the maximum revenue as well as profits for them. If I were in a business that is forced to basically make a lot of ends cut, and if I have to look at it, then I would be identifying very quickly, if I already don't know these customers, but I would be identifying them very quickly and I would look at focusing all resources that I have only on those set of customers.
So an extremely personalized, highly contextual approach to engagement.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for answering all of those questions, Meera. It brings me to the very last question, and I'm a bit of a sci-fi geek. So I I put this question inside. What do you think is the future of marketing going to be like? Is the COVID-19 pandemic going to be a catalyst for change with respect to way brands engage with consumers?
What is marketing? You know, in very pristine terms or in very basic terms, it's always been about one, understanding your customers, right? And then drawing meaningful insights to basically fit your brand narrative into their lives, right? So it's the classic fit between a product or a service that you have and the customer and understanding the customer insight that can make this product and service be of great service and great use to the set of customers that you have. So by that definition, it has evolved, right? It has evolved over the years with new medias coming, with new changes coming, and customers also evolving with technology becoming a centerpiece. So I don't think marketing per se changes, or the definition of marketing changes. It still remains that. It's just that accelerated movement to digital will necessarily make people think a little harder on how to make digital equally effective a pull medium. I've always thought of digital as a better push medium than a pull medium, right? Whereas offline for me does the pull bit. But it looks like we'll have to crack the code in terms of how to make digital work equally well as a pull medium as it is a push medium, right? So it's really going to be that kind of a shift. I don't think marketing per se, the definition of it changes in because of any of this.
Awesome. And one last question before we go. Is work from home going to become a permanent fixture for businesses in India?
For a lot of businesses, they are going to reevaluate, Priyam, right? Already people, especially companies that have settled their workforce, it is at the end of the day a huge, huge saving, right? So it is a huge saving to have half your workforce working from home and therefore saving on rentals, right? So is work from home going to be a new reality and something that is encouraged by a lot of companies? Possibly. At least the economics of it say that, it makes sense to evaluate and try that. My sense is yes, it is something that is going to be a big trend, driven more by the economics and the P&L rather than any other thing.
Absolutely. A sign of things to come, most definitely. Thank you so much, Meera. That would be all. I don't have any more questions for you. You were such a sport. Thank you so much for those amazing insights. Please stay safe, stay indoors. And
to all of you, same to all of you.
Thanks a lot, Meera.
You're welcome.
Bye. Take care.
That's it for today's episode. If you like this episode, please share it with your friends and family. And please let us know on LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram @WebEngage. We are always looking for the feedbacks. You can drop them on our social media channels. We will be back soon with episode number 2, which features Manav Sethi, Group Chief Marketing Officer at Eros Now. Till then, stay home, stay safe. See you soon.